if there's failures, if there are setbacks, that's as normal. Just normalize it. It's as normal as, you know, having a McDonald's or something.
The face of engineering is changing and evolving. But who are the faces behind it, and more specifically, the women? Let us take you on a journey of an exciting career that celebrates success and embraces failure. I'm your host, Ganan Adamu, and together with The Common Room, we bring you The Face of Engineering. Today, I'm in conversation with Yingwan Lo.
My name is Yingwan Lo. I'm a chartered engineer and a junior specialist in operations. Outside work, I am a passionate STEM ambassador, and last year I won the IIT Young Woman Engineer of the Year award.
What does your name mean?
Oh, Ying means reflection, and once it's like blossoming.
Oh, okay. I like that. Who inspired you to get into engineering?
Well, because engineering is cool. I was really into theatre and arts, and I originally wanted to be a theatre or a film director. And at the time, I was struggling to put a lot of my creative ideas to make it into reality because I faced a lot of like technical issues and things like that. So later, when I was looking for, you know, something to do from a university degree, I came across engineering. And I thought, well, this sounds amazing because you can be very creative and actually apply it in real life settings. And that's what attracted me into engineering.
So you grew up in Malaysia?
Yes, I did. Yes, I grew up in Malaysia, and I would never imagine like how far my career could have been in the UK.
So how old were you when you came to the UK?
I was like 19. I don't know how my parents just like, yeah, go to Scotland alone. Like it was me and one luggage bag, and I say, I want to go to the University of Glasgow. And they were like, yeah, okay. Like, I don't know how parents do that, but yes, I just left home at 19 on my own.
What was it like for you when you first arrived in the UK?
It was a big culture shock for sure, because I've never actually been to the UK before I decided to come and live here. You know, landing in Scotland, coming from a tropical country, you know, apart from the culture shock, it's also like a massive shock because of the weather. Like, you know, you just land and it was autumn and it goes into winter and it was snowing so much. I've never, you know, it doesn't snow in Malaysia. So that was a big shock. But I think, you know, Scottish people being very friendly, I think that helps. And I also really, you know, really get into learning about engineering and the history of that as well. Because in Glasgow, like, we had James Watt, one of the famous engineers in history, and he worked there as well. So that was cool.
So you did, and this is incredible now, so you did mechanical design engineering at the University of Glasgow.
Yes,
that's and then right. You later on did your master's in industrial systems manufacture and management at the University of Cambridge.
Yes, that was another turn that I didn't expect back then as well, and it was really fun doing my master's in Cambridge.
And then you joined Rolls-Royce. Like this is like a dream come true journey. If somebody was going to say, "This is what's going to happen once you get on that plane," would you have believed this?
I absolutely would not have believed it, because even, you know, in my first few months, or even the first year in Scotland, I struggle with even the language because English is not my first language. So even then, trying to understand my lecturers was a struggle in the classroom. So, you know, being able to achieve all these later on in my life, I think that's, like I say, I'm very, very privileged.
But also, not forgetting the Scottish accent, because the Scottish accent, like, I've got a Scouse accent. Scottish accent is a lot stronger.
Yes, and it was in Glasgow as well.
So what was your research topic on?
Research topic. When I was in university, I built a space drill for my final year project.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's, you know what? That sounds so cool. That is really, really cool. Now, I wanted a career in engineering, but I remember going to the open day and going into the room and there was not one woman and there wasn't any person of colour. There was no diversity. It was literally just young white men. And I thought, this is not for me. So what was your experience like of, you know, of studying at university?
It was absolutely the same, right? I mean, when I decided to go for engineering, a lot of my friends said, why would you want to do engineering? You know, you'll be surrounded by guys in the lecture hall. And I think it's just because of my upbringing and my values. I was like, so what? Like, that doesn't stop me from doing that. But also I understand that it could be a very challenging environment for, you know, minorities or women to join engineering, because it just, you know, the cohort just doesn't look like one of them. you don't look like one of them. You kind of feel, oh, is this really for me or not? Yeah. And yes, you know, since it's a joint engineering, I agree, it's got a it's not as diverse as we would like it to be. And there's a lot more work to do.
So in terms of engineering, what excites you the most?
I think, and what excites me most, is it's a job with purpose. So, you know, every day when you go to work, you know very well your day job has the potential to impact many people's lives in society. Whether you're building a jet engine, whether you're, you know, in manufacturing, making equipment, you know, medical equipment, or telecommunications, making sure, you know, people can do Zoom calls in a lockdown. It is a job with purpose. And that's what I love most about it.
A job with purpose. I would say everyone needs a purpose in life. So what type, you know, I always like to ask, you know, when you're an engineer, you're always looking at solving problems. What type of problems do you like to solve?
What type of problems I like to solve? I think challenging ones. The kind of problems that I find most rewarding and satisfying when I solve them is the ones that I didn't know the answer when I first started out. In engineering, that's very common, very common. So when I was a manufacturing engineer in Rolls-Royce, we were looking at how to make production processes more efficient. A lot of the times, like, these are very complex processes. And when you start out, you just don't know anything, or you don't know everything in that system. So it takes a lot of time to go and analyze the data, collect the data, and really compile that, and actually pull in a lot of expertise from different teams to be able to come out with an outcome or with a result to say, okay, if you do this, and you know the outcome will be X or Y, and that would actually result in an X percent improvement in the production process. So I think problems like that are very interesting to me and very intellectually fun to work on.
You know, in terms of what you do, is there a lot of team working together, or is it that you start off by yourself and then you join the team?
I think in engineering, it's a lot of times it always involves teamwork. I think teamwork is very important. So I usually will have my own, say, subject matter. So I'll be looking after an area or something like that. But nobody can single-handedly solve the whole problem. So, for example, if I want to reduce non-conformance in an area, I'll pull in people from, you know, stress analysis, from design engineering, from materials, to work on it together. And that's when I think also the power of diversity is very important, because you realize that nobody can solve a problem alone in engineering. And that's why we need different inputs and different ideas. And that, you know, that dynamics in the team is so important to make.
And you know what, it's, and as you mentioned about diversity, do you feel, or from your experiences so far, that the engineering world is open and welcoming to women and diversity? And also, is the environment comfortable enough for people to want to remain in the industry?
That's a really good question. I think almost all the companies recognize the importance of having more women and having more diversity in engineering. But I think sometimes the existing environment is not diverse enough. So, for example, I'll give you an example. So only 12% of those working in engineering are women. I think it's about 4% are people from ethnic minorities. So looking at the statistics alone, it is just purely not diverse enough. Despite a lot of work going into this area, doing STEM and promote it to more women, we're not effecting change quick enough, I think. So yes, that could be a challenge, especially from, you know, somebody looking from the outside, from let's say a young girl looking at engineering, and if they look around and they don't see women, then they'll be like, there are no role models, there are people who are different from her, then they might decide, well, maybe this area is not for me, because representation matters and they don't see the representation in the field. So that's one of the issues that we have to work on.
So what do you think then the industry should be doing to tackle this?
Well, two things. Well, the first one is what a lot of companies are already working very hard on, which is to promote diversity, reach out to women or any minorities, frankly, and do a lot more outreach work in this area. That's number one. Number two is actually, instead of just carrying on as a status quo, get men to be allies for women, get men to be coaches, mentors for women, and actually supporting not just women, but like people from diverse backgrounds to help them excel in their career and help them feel included in the workplace.
Now, one of the things that, you know, I do love about engineering and science and even technology is that it's a culture of trial and error, which in a way interprets to, for me, celebrating failure and saying, all right, then this didn't work, but how can we improve it? So, you know, how important is it to celebrate failure in engineering, in your eyes?
I think it's very important. So I'll use the space drill research project that I did for as an example. When I was working on that, I didn't know what was the outcome because in research, you know, it could go either way. And during that process, I have to finish the project in 3 to 6 months. What I learned was to actually embrace unexpected outcomes because they are as important as your successful outcomes. You don't just try to validate your hypothesis, but you try to test it. And if the outcome is something completely different from where you set out from, just embrace it. You learn more from the unexpected and actually the failed results than you will from the successful ones, I think.
So one of the things I'm really conscious of as well, when we talk about celebrating failure, is also your mental health and how you stay focused and how, you know, and managing anxiety and things like that. What keeps you grounded? What keeps your mental health in a way in a safe space, on a safe place?
Recognizing that if you come across challenges and setbacks, that's not a negative thing. It's part of life. There's something to be embraced, and it is part of the world. And for people around, you know, as you know, the culture of our society, we just need to be okay with that. You know, it's just like if there's failures, if there's setbacks, that's as normal. Just normalize it. It's as normal as, you know, having a McDonald's or something. That is not a talking point. It's not like a negative thing. You know, it's something to work on. It's just I think we really need to normalize that.
Definitely. That's the message. Definitely. So what's a typical day like for you?
Typical day, I think, I don't know what other engineers would say, but a lot of them will probably say there's no typical day. I think I'll say it involves a lot of Excel spreadsheets in non-COVID times, walking the shop floor, going to the factories, seeing things for yourself. I think that's very important. And also talking with teams, having meetings. So a combination of, so see, view, we say go look see. So go look see, doing analysis and working as a team.
So in terms of IET Young Woman Engineer of the Year winner, what was that for?
So that was a really prestigious award to recognize young women in the UK. Well, young female engineers in the UK who has excelled in the field and also contributed to bringing STEM to the wider society, I would say. Yeah, so promoting STEM. I won that last year and it was a really humbling experience. I mean, I felt so honoured and privileged.
Well, you know what? It's massive. That's a big deal. It really is. So what are you currently working on at the moment?
At the moment, I, as a junior specialist in operations, I worked on a lot of different projects in operations. And actually, I find it very rewarding to be able to work on some really high impact projects. We can't go into too much into details, but they are stuff like digital operations. And that's becoming increasingly important in the COVID world.
So I want to ask you, because I saw, so you've got, you were Forbes 30 under 30 Europe lister. So what was that all about?
So that was, again, another recognition of what I've achieved through the IET Young Women Engineer of the Year Award and some of the outreach work I've done in order to promote engineering. Again, that is one of those things that I feel so honoured to be able to be there, be on the list with so many amazing people.
And who would you say is your role model? Who do you look up to or who inspires you?
There are a lot, but I'll start with a very simple one, who is just Marie Curie. And all she did was appearing on my textbook, in my science textbook when I was in primary school. Because I would say, as a young girl, I was a very ambitious young girl. And reading through my science textbooks, I struggled to find a single woman. For a child, that's very important. I want to see someone like me in history and making history. And I think when I saw Marie Curie there, I remember reading the same text over and over again, you know, because she's so cool. She had 2 Nobel Prizes. She's achieved so much in her life. And I was like, this is someone I looked up to. And I think that forms part of the motivation and my passion to carry on in this career and actually go into engineering.
And that's the thing. I always say it's young people especially. need someone to look up to. And even in my career, mentoring is a big thing. So did you have mentors, and have you mentored yourself, and how and what difference did that make for you?
Absolutely. So in my career, I have career coaches, professional mentors, and they are sort of middle to senior managers who made time for me and helped me develop professionally. I learned a lot to navigate the workplace, and also gaining skills. It's like a mirror. It's like looking to the mirror and knowing where you can work on to improve yourself. Now I also mentor other people, a lot of early careers and university students. And I find that process very rewarding. So it's a two-way interaction. So when I'm mentoring someone, I'm not just giving, I'm also receiving as well, because I learned something from my mentees. And I would really encourage everyone to go and mentor somebody. It helps you grow as a person.
And one of the questions I've loved asking is, what's the ideal world you would like us to live in, especially as an engineer, because you are trying to solve problems and make the world, in effect, a better and safer place?
That's a really good question. I think there are many things in the world I like to fix. But I think at the moment, one of the top urgent ones, I would say, is sustainability. So when I use a plastic bag, or like a one-time unrecyclable plastic packaging, I was like, why do we create this? Is there no other options? Are there other alternatives there? What are the other materials which is sustainable to the environment and also help people live a better life as well? So in the past, if you look back, technology and engineering has actually accelerated a lot of good stuff. You know, it is a power for good in countries where they have helped lift people from poverty. So I'm very, very sure we can use the same power to help create a better world in the future.
And what would be your dream role in the future?
In my dream role, I want to be the female version of Elon Musk. I'm very fascinated with space and things like that. And also to be in a position where you're able to use technology to really like propel society into the future, like bringing groundbreaking technology, and everyone gets so excited about it. I want to be that kind of person.
I love that. You know what? That's so true. And in terms of hobbies and interests, is there anything outside of engineering that you're really passionate about?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I like I said, I used to be quite heavily involved in arts and theatre. And since I did not become a film director, I still love arts. I do a bit of photography. I visit art galleries. I watch a lot of films and TV shows. I travel a lot, and I've been in galleries around Europe in the past. But at the moment, it's pretty much staying at home, watch some great films and TV, and do some reading.
And what would you say to any young women listening to this who, you know, are thinking about, or even not thinking about, a career in engineering?
I would say engineering plays an important role in shaping our world today. And if you're looking for a high impact job, then look no further. In terms of the skills, so any advice, I would say to have the learning agility. I think it's one of the most important skills I've ever learned over the years, is the ability to learn anything new, because technology changes so quickly. So your ability to learn new things will serve you very well, no matter how times change.
You were listening to Ying Wan Lo, honorary Glaswegian with a fantastic philosophy on failure. As normal as a McDonald's. What a fearless mantra to live by. Our next episode features Dr. Shrukel Attar, electronics design engineer. I hope you'll join me on The Face of Engineering.